Good morning. So where does sin come from? It comes from your heart, right? But where do you first see it? Where does it first manifest itself to you? Sin first manifests itself in your minds. I know that for me, my mind is always 10 steps ahead of where my body is. If I've been complaining, I've been complaining in my head for a long time before my body ever lets it out loud. See, it's your thoughts, the little dialogue inside of your head, that it shapes who you are and who you're becoming. Positive thoughts can be a great tool for God to use your mind in a way that does good for him. But having negative thoughts or thoughts that aren't right, they can be a great tool for Satan to let sin get into your life. So I'd like to look at some ways that negative and positive thoughts can affect your life. You might be thinking, it's just a thought. Can it really be all that bad? Can it do that much damage? Well, what thoughts do is they start out small, but they get bigger, and they can really turn your heart. So please turn with me to 2 Samuel 11:2, and we can look at an example of how a thought can change the way you think. It says, "Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and someone said, 'Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' Then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house." So David sees Bathsheba, who is a married woman, and he thinks that she's beautiful. He likes her. And he sends for her, and someone says, "Hey, she's married. That's not okay." And he doesn't care. He lets the thought of her change his heart, and eventually he ends up committing adultery with her. So this is a perfect example of how a thought can start small, but it can take root and it can change your heart. Proverbs 23:7 tells us that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It's your thoughts that make you who you are. And having thoughts that are not set on God means that you yourselves are not set on God. And it's so easy to get to a point where you're no longer set on God. In Romans 1:21, it says, "Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were hardened." So what does that mean? It means that even if you are not having good thoughts, it can be enough to turn you away from God. But just in the same way that negative thoughts can turn you from God, positive thoughts can bring you closer to him. For example, the very act of becoming a Christian required you to think about the word, to think about what you believe. In Acts 18:8, we read, "Many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized." They had to think about what they heard in order to respond to the message. Now, if you would, please turn to Matthew 13, and we're going to look at verses 13 and 23. And as we're reading them, the word "understand" in these verses is taken from the Greek word "suneami," which literally means to think or to consider. In verse 13, it says, "Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." And then over in 23, it says, "But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So as these verses show us, when we hear the word, we need to consider it, otherwise our hearts become hard. But if we do consider it, if we do think about it, then we're told that we are good soil and that we'll produce good fruit. Consideration is also an important part of building our faith. Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as we just saw in Matthew, when we hear the word, we need to consider it and think about it, and the Bible tells us that it will build our faith. But more than just building our faith, we also need to think of ways that we can show our faith. James 2:18 says, "Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by our works." As Christians, we need to be planning and thinking of ways that we can show people our faith. It's not just going to spontaneously happen unless we have our minds focused on God. In 2 Corinthians, well, sorry, most importantly, it is our thought and consideration that will lead us to repentance. 2 Corinthians 7:9 through 10 says, "Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation." Godly sorrow is felt when somebody thinks about what they've done. They think of ways that they hurt God, and it leads them to repent. And repentance leads to salvation. So all of these are ways that your thoughts can positively impact your Christian life. But there's actually ways that God tells us in his word that we should be thinking. Turn with me to Philippians 2, 5 through 7. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men." So here you have Jesus, who's equal to God, and he comes down to earth in the likeness of a lowly man. What the verse is trying to tell us is that we need to be humble. In Matthew 18:4, we read that whoever humbles himself as a child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. As Christians, God wants us to keep our minds innocent and humble and pure, just like a child, and also like Jesus, who's really the ultimate example of how a Christian should be. Finally, in Romans 8:6, God reminds us the importance of being a spiritually minded person, saying, "To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." And in Philippians 4:8, he gives us the key to being a spiritually minded person, saying, "Brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." So in conclusion, we've seen several different ways that thoughts can impact our lives. We've seen how they can be a tool of the devil that lets sin leak into your life and harden your heart, but we've also seen how they can be a tool for God. They can build our faith, lead us to obedience, repentance, and will ultimately lead us to salvation. We've also seen ways that God tells us in his word that we should be thinking. But as Christians, it's up to us to choose how we use our thoughts, how we use our minds, and how we use them for God. You're the only one who can control what goes on in your head, and you need to choose to have thoughts that are worth thinking.